And across all of our product groups, we share a common set of goals. And the first one is, we really want to deliver value and new features to our customers more quickly than we have in the past. And the second goal and shared value across the organization is integrating deeply with the cloud. This makes our services and our products, in terms of how to keep up to date, easier. And the third thing that we really think about is, it's important to provide IT professionals such as yourself unmatched control and flexibility in terms of rolling out these new features to your environment. Another core belief that we share is around continually improving security, performance, and reliability of all of our products. And lastly, but not least, simplifying deployment and management to help you reduce your total cost of ownership. So, I'm Krista St. Pierre. I'm here from the Windows engineering team in Redmond, Washington, along with my colleagues, Raji and Elaine, to talk to you today about Windows as a Service. This is the transformation that's taking place within Windows in terms of how we build Windows, deploy Windows, and service Windows to transform to this more agile environment. One of the important things that we've spent a lot of time thinking and changing is around how we build Windows to make it a continuous, ongoing development process that's inclusive of our customers and insiders, allowing you to provide feedback to us and co-create value in Windows for the world in the products and services. The second thing is around how we deploy. We really need to make it as easy as possible and as automated as possible to stay up to date. Unmatched application compatibility, we hear a lot of feedback from our customers that that's a really important thing when deciding when to roll out the next version of Windows. And Raji is gonna spend some time going into depth around a lot of the improvements and new capabilities that we offer around application compatibility. And lastly, it's around flexible timelines and methods and tools to control the rollout of Windows that meet the needs of your specific environment. Lastly, we've reimagined our servicing model as well. We've simplified the process to ensure that the version of Windows that you're running is always up to date in one step. It's secure, it's reliable, and it's performant. We do this delivering it via cumulative updates. And I'll go into a bit more detail later on around how that works. So if I go into a little bit of detail around build, every day, thousands of engineers across Windows install the daily build. This is the first set of data and feedback that we get as engineers to inform us if what we're building is meeting the needs of our customers. Once we go through this, thousands of engineers that are installing the daily build, we make it available to our partners across Microsoft, Azure, Office. This is the next set of information that we get back to inform us that what we're building and delivering is meeting the needs of our customers. After we validated with our partners within Microsoft, we make it available to our Windows insiders. And I think you've heard about that at the keynote, I know for sure. Bombo mentioned that, as well as other talks throughout the past couple of days, Windows as a Service. The first is what we call our Windows Insider Preview Branch. This is the weekly engineering builds. And we recommend that about 1% of your population be subscribed to the Windows Insider Preview Branch. This you can think about as your test pilots. These are your early adopters that are co-creating Windows along with us to ensure that we're building and delivering a solution that meets the needs for your organization. The next set is what we call our current branch. This is the actual released product of Windows. We recommend that about 10% of your population be subscribed to the current branch. These are early adopters within your organization, and it's good to think about the breadth of applications and devices in terms of the population that you subscribe to this current branch ring. You want to make sure that you're getting the feedback and the data and the information you need to inform you of a broad deployment once we release what we call current branch for business. And just think about this as a point in time. This is, we've gotten to a point in time with this particular release that it's ready for broad deployment across your organization. And you have the information based on the feedback and the data that you got from the insider preview branch, as well as the current branch, to inform you of readiness for broad deployment in your organization. Ensuring that your information workers within your organization have the tools and the applications and the hardware and devices that they need to be successful is a key priority. And this data and pilot and ring-driven model will help you along the way to inform when you're ready for that rollout. The last thing that I'll talk about is what we call our long-term servicing branch. We recognize that some devices, given your organizational needs, may never want to take a feature update. You can imagine that there are machines on your factory line. You may have ATM machines, other devices. So there may be a very small portion of your hardware and devices in your organization that you want to subscribe to the long-term servicing branch. And this is really just deployed for mission-critical systems. So if we take these concepts and apply it to a timeline, you'll see something around this. Concentric rings of deployment. And so what we can think about is, in this time horizon shown here, a given build may live within your organization for up to 16 months. It starts with that initial deployment and validation and progresses through your organization based on the information that you gather at each stage to determine whether or not it's ready to release to the next set of users. But it's good to imagine, even though we're releasing feature updates twice a year, you have 16 months to run any given build. The next thing I'll talk about, remember I talked about we changed how we build, we've changed how we deploy, we've also changed how we service. But before I talk a little bit about how we've changed in servicing, it's important to give a little backdrop around how Windows servicing worked in Windows 7 and 8.1. So in this example here that you see behind me, what we would test in Windows and Microsoft before releasing the product and making it generally available was generally a fully patched system. And that fully patched system was a known state. But if you look at the other side, what you see is that in reality, most devices in the world were running in a different state than what we were testing, because you could pick and choose. And everybody, you know, spent a good deal of time deciding which patches to apply for their given organization. This was not only time-consuming and costly from an IT management perspective, but it also didn't lead to the most secure, performant, and reliable operating system as we would want. So in Windows 10, we've moved to a cumulative update model. I don't know, it didn't come. Maybe I pressed the wrong button. Here we go. Okay. So there are two types of updates that we release now. The first of which is what we call our quality updates. Quality updates are what I was mentioning, the cumulative monthly updates. This includes all of the fixes and security fixes for a given month. What's really unique about this new model is you can get current with one update and one reboot in this new model. There's no need, if your system falls behind, to go through multiple reboots to get current. The next thing, and I should call out that the quality updates don't contain any new features. It's just the security fixes and product and fixes. The next is feature updates. Feature updates we target to release twice a year, and this is the new features that we release and make available. They're very reliable with built-in rollback and uninstall capabilities. And you can try these out in our Insider Preview ring. So before I hand off to Raji around application compatibility, I just want to go through two more slides around how to actually think about and do Windows as a service and what needs to change. So traditional deployment, when we were first thinking and talking to our customers and learning from all of you in terms of how you approached Windows 7 deployment, was that it could take 3 to 5 years. It would be something that you would occur every 3 to 5 years, and the actual deployment could take 18 to 24 months to roll out in your organization. This was costly and expensive. In order to move to this new Windows as a Service model, we're making investments to reduce that total cost of ownership so that the cost is something more along what you see described in this bottom row here. So the two things that I want to spend a little bit more time with my colleagues to go into that we've reduced costs significantly in terms of this deployment process around application testing and validation and deployment itself. With that, I'm going to hand off to Raji to talk about. Thank you.
Toni, in her keynote yesterday, talked about digital transformation. She said that if you do not transform digitally, you're not transforming at all. If you're not transforming digitally, you're being left behind. Now, how can you be at the forefront of digital transformation? And how can you be there confidently? My name is Raji Rajagopalan. I'm an engineering manager for Windows compatibility. And I want to talk to you today about my own experience when Microsoft was leading a digital transformation recently. Windows 10 was hot off the press. We were trying to roll it out to our consumer ecosystem. Our consumer ecosystem had hundreds of millions of devices, a diversity of apps and peripherals, and we did not want any disruption to our customer experience. We wanted to do this responsibly, right? So what we realized was that we were being an IT admin for our entire consumer population. So there are a lot of customers, our customers, who are IT admins. We work with a lot of enterprises in Microsoft. And we realized that we can listen to these customers and learn from their experiences. So we talked to them. We listened to them. They shared with us their stories, their pain points, their challenges, their upgrade process. And they shared with us what are the two things they needed in order to make their own rollout successful. So we realized that those were the exact same things we needed to make our consumer rollout successful as well. What are those two things? Number one, trust in our operating system. So what does that mean? It means that our operating system, Windows 10, had to be highly compatible. So we raised our compatibility bar, and we've been raising it since Windows 7. We said that if there is an app or device that is prevalent in the ecosystem, and it did not work on Windows 10, we would not ship the OS. And we co-created with our application developer partners, hardware developer partners, ISVs and IHVs. We made sure that these apps and devices that they owned will be compatible as the operating system rolled out. So that work, along with the work that we did internally, we test 3,000 applications across consumer, information worker, gamer categories. We test 2,000 peripherals. We also listen to feedback from our millions of insiders. And because of that, you see here, 99% of our ecosystem is compatible on Windows 10. So that is our compat promise. Windows 10 is the most compatible Windows ever. So that takes care of the first part, trust in our operating system. The second one that we needed was the optics into our ecosystem. We needed to understand what is this set of machines that will have a good experience on Windows 10, and more importantly, what is the set of machines that could have a poor experience on Windows 10, so that we could delay our offer of Windows 10 until they were ready. So we built a lot of new technologies using machine learning, statistical modeling. We built a lot of new technologies to give us those data-driven insights. So we continued talking to our enterprise customers, and we realized that whatever made us successful, the technologies that we had built that empowered us in our consumer rollout could empower them too. So we decided to make them public. That was how Upgrade Analytics was born. Upgrade Analytics is a toolset, it's a free toolset that gives you data-driven insights to plan and manage your Windows upgrade end-to-end. Before we go into the details, the workflows and the insights that you can get from Upgrid Analytics, I want to touch upon what is the step-by-step process of a typical upgrade project. This is something we put together listening to our enterprise customers. It goes something like this. You first get a good picture of your enterprise. What are the applications? What are the devices you have? And what are the business critical ones? What are important? What can be ignored? Once you do that, you go into identifying the issues. What could be the issues with your applications and devices when you move to Windows 10? And how do you mitigate those issues? And lastly, how do you get Windows 10 bits onto your machines? So these are the three high-level steps, and Upgrid Analytics gives you help in each of those steps. So to get started, you go to the Operations Management Suite Solutions Gallery, and you click on the Upgrid Analytics solution and install it and configure it. As part of the configuration, you run a script that gets a complete inventory of your entire enterprise, the devices, the apps, the peripherals that you own. And here, there's a first that Upgrid Analytics brings you. So in the past, when our enterprise customers rolled out Windows 7 onto their Windows XP ecosystem, it took them like 5 to 7 years on average. That was because a lot of the things that Upgrid Analytics gives you in terms of data was not available to them. They had to do all of them in a manual way. For instance, this dashboard gives you an inventory of all the devices that you have. In this case, this is a demo enterprise with 15,000 devices. Some of them are ready to upgrade, and some of them are still review in progress. But once you click on it, you see automatically that there is 60,000 applications in your enterprise. Now, that may seem like a lot of applications, but in fact, it's not atypical. A lot of enterprises have a long tail of applications. Only some of them are used. Most of them are rarely used, if used at all. So to collect this sort of information, what are really the applications in your enterprise? IT admins in the past had to use spreadsheets and manual methods. It was all time-consuming, tedious, error-prone. But now, once you run the script, you get this picture right away. Not only that, you can see that we have marked around 58,000 applications as low install count applications. These are applications that are not very prevalent in your enterprise. So knowing that, you're able to make smarter decisions. You're able to prioritize the right applications, the important applications for your testing. Your app inventory looks like this. You know what are all the apps that you own, what are the versions that you're currently running, and more importantly, deep, rich insights, like what is the install base for every app? What is the monthly active device count for that app? Using all of these rich insights, you can do very targeted validation. You don't have to diffuse your validation, waste your time on things that your enterprise is rarely using, right? You also get insights from outside your enterprise. Microsoft has insights around how is the commercial adoption of a lot of applications. And we are able to share this with you now. In this case, Adobe Acrobat, we know that in commercial ecosystem, it's being highly adopted, meaning it's run on more than 100,000 machines. So with this piece of data, now you can get more confidence around this application, so you can feel confident moving to Windows 10. It's not just the insights, you also have complete control. You're really in the driver's seat here. You can say that even the applications that we by default marked as ready to upgrade to lower your workload, you can go and review them, and if it is business critical for you, you can mark them as not yet ready to upgrade so that you can go and do some testing on it. Moving to step two. Here, this is another first that you get. Here you're trying to understand the issues and resolve them. You see that 681 applications are marked as issues known to Microsoft. Now, I said earlier that we do some internal testing. We test thousands of apps in Microsoft. In the past, we were not able to share these insights with you. We did not have one place to share them with you. But now, with Upgrid Analytics, you know that these 681 applications have been tested by us, so you don't have to test them. You can take them off your test list. We tell you what those issues are, and we also tell you how to mitigate those issues. In the second bucket of applications you have, 53,000 of them, we did not find any issues because either we did not test them or we tested them and we did not find any issues on them. Our recommendation on how to deal with those is to use a heuristics-based approach to validation. So here, I have designed some heuristics. We have a very powerful query language in Upgrade Analytics that you can use. My heuristics is something like all the applications where we don't know of any issues that are not business critical to my enterprise and that are not very highly used in my enterprise, I'm querying for all those applications and I can mark them as ready to upgrade. So very quick decision making, a lot of powerful control. So we saw step one and step two, getting a picture of your enterprise, finding and resolving issues. Step three is actually deployment, actually getting the Windows 10 bits onto your machine. Elaine will talk about that. But before we move on, I want to recap. So we talked a lot about digital transformation in these last couple of days. Data is a very key component of digital transformation. And Upgrade Analytics gives you those, that kind of data to drive your enterprise upgrade end-to-end. It also reduces your time and effort you need to do the entire upgrade project. And finally, this is the era of co-creation and sharing, and we are co-creating compatibility with you with this tool set. And we are sharing the insights that we have with you so you can, we can empower you through your upgrade project. Thank you.
Everybody has been hearing a lot about digital transformation, but you might be wondering, what is the impact on the IT role? If you think about the IT, what it means, information technology, it's actually changing. It's becoming more like IT, innovation transformation. You as a business owner or an IT decision maker can actually lead this transformation in your organization and empower everyone to do good. And here where we Microsoft engineers can help you to leverage more the cloud. We've been working hard on several tools and solutions that you can leverage so you can actually increase the productivity in your company. You can also accelerate your deployment and most important, secure your environment. This way you will be digitally transforming, okay? Because at the end of the day, you need to be ahead of the game. You need to be able to honor your own customer promises. Hello, everyone. I'm Elaine Hagen. I'm a software engineer managing the Windows deployment team, and I'm very excited to be here. All right, but before I talk about deployment, I need to talk about something that I know is on everybody's mind, and that means cost, right? If you have done deployment in the past, you know that it doesn't come as a free cost. There is always a cost associated with deployment. But with the Windows as a service model that Krista talked about, it actually will change, it will help because it will reduce your total cost of ownership. You might be wondering why. Well, if you remember in the past, what you used to do to deploy is to use what we call the traditional deployment method, the very famous full wipe and reload. Well, this is a very expensive process. It's long, it's expensive. If you have older versions of OS in your organization, you know what I'm talking about. So our cloud tools will be able to help you manage your deployment in a much easier way. So let's take a look at some of the tools that you can use. So the easiest one is the Windows Update. You probably heard about it. Windows Update, all you have to do, you point your PCs to the Windows Update cloud service, and then all the feature updates and quality updates that Krista mentioned will be coming out to your device automatically as soon as they get released. So you get the latest security defenses. You get the latest feature updates and quality updates at low cost. Okay, this is an example of a UI where you as an IT can actually configure your policies and manage your updates. Things you can do with this tool. You can specify maintenance windows. You can actually use group policies to manage how and when the updates will be delivered. And my favorite, deployment rings. Who knows what is a deployment ring in the audience? You know. So basically, you can test your feature updates before it goes to a broader deployment. Consider this as a group pilot. So you stage the updates gradually across divisions until you cover the entire organization. Why would you do that? Well, you don't want to introduce risk. If you have a bug, the entire organization will have that bug. It's bad. You don't want that. So that's why you go in stages, and eventually you cover the entire organization. They will get the updates. So it reduces your risk, okay? If you think about the Windows Insider, it's actually a deployment group for us. We use this group to validate our features. We get bugs, we get feedback, we get all the data, we analyze, we fix the bugs, we adjust our experience, and we move to the next ring, all the way to release readiness. Pretty cool, but important thing. If you have a deployment ring, what it means is that you can start deploying Windows 10 right away. So I want to highlight that for you guys. Now, System Center Configuration Manager, also known as SCCM, as I said, is supported. You can have control over the updates. You can defer. You can do everything like the previous tools can. You can decide when and how the updates will be delivered. It has two ways. It can deliver updates automatically, or you can use test sequence to provide the feature updates. So, pretty simple. Let's say that you have devices that are not internet-facing. Then you can use this tool, the Windows Server Update Services, to actually manage your updates. What it does, as the other tools, you have total control, but you need to use Group Polis to point your Windows client PCs to the server, because the server will distribute the updates throughout your organization after you approve. So you have control, you approve, and then it goes. Okay? Okay, this is my favorite topic. Why? Everybody in this room will agree with me. Because, trust me, I'll get there. Well, everybody is worried about the size of the feature update and the impact in the network, right? I'm going to share a story. Krista and I went to a safari, and we were in the lodge. She had some drinks. I didn't drink too much. And then we had to pay the bill. But guess what? The credit card didn't go through because of network issues. So who paid the bill? Not me. I didn't have any cash. It was our driver with the phone, right? So this is a problem that is common here. And you, if you are an IT and want to deploy Windows 10 in your environment, this is going to be a blocker. But fortunately, we have a solution. We have technology that we've been working on that can help mitigate this problem. So when you are considering your content distribution strategy for Windows 10, try to have a kind of a form like a peer-to-peer distribution so you can reduce the network bandwidth during the updates. So it's like this. You have one PC, this PC gets the updates, and then distributes to the other PCs. So with that, what you are doing, you are shifting the network, the majority of the network, from the data center to the edges of the network. Why? The edges of the network actually has more network capacity. So this way, you solve the problem. And also, you don't have to rely on having an on-site server caching solution, because you can do just that. This is pretty important. That's why I want to highlight, because this could be a deployment blocker, but we have a solution for you. So no excuse, okay? All right. Oh, one more thing. You might be asking me, what tool should I use? Well, this is a tough question to answer, but I'm not going to disappoint you. If you have a tool to use, it's really going to depend on your own needs, on your current infrastructure. But we can help you. We have, on the last slide, resources that you can get more information, because you can get best practice, and we will help you find the best tool for your deployment. Okay? So don't worry. Now, you heard me talk about all these great deployment tools. You heard Krista talk about the Windows as a service model that is really unblocking everything. That's what is making the deployment more agile. You heard Raj talk about the upgrade analytics that their compat team has been working so hard. But there is one thing across all the topics that is common. Who knows? Nobody? The importance of customer. We need to listen to you guys and co-create solutions to empower this famous digital transformation that you always hear. With that, I want to finish my presentation, and I want to invite each one of you here to actually go and pilot Windows 10, give it a try, join the Insider program. Donna is here. Everybody knows Donna. She's doing a great job with the Windows Insider program. So join. We will help you. Let's do it. Asante Asana. I got it. Thank you.
I work in an organization where we have about 70 to 100 PCs. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, we took advantage of the upgrade. It was free. And all machines are on Windows 10.
Yeah.
So the challenge now is maintaining that momentum. Don't forget that I think as it is now, all the updates are just coming automatic. So it means once you check on your bandwidth consumption, you'll find that all the majority of or the highest portion of your bandwidth consumption is from Windows. So you find yourself, you're also suffering. Maybe someone wants to go on YouTube, another one wants to do a research on some other pages, but somewhere you find that the bandwidth is very... But deep down when you look, it's Windows updates. So you force yourself to just lock the Windows updates either from the firewall or somewhere. So then, how do you take advantage of the upgrades? Because we know security is important. But still, now, we are still dealing with that issue of the bandwidth. So how do we create a compromise? I know you have mentioned peer-to-peer. Are there other solutions apart from just turning on peer-to-peer? Because we are really we still want to continue with that. Mm-hmm. But for now, we just have locked down the updates. So how do you help? I hope you got my question.
So did you try the peer-to-peer solution?
Yes, we did try peer-to-peer, but still you'll find that Windows updates is still consuming most of your bandwidth. So you find yourself also fighting with the ISP, because you find maybe you have a 15 MB link, but you still find yourself fighting with the ISP. You come in the morning, maybe during the morning session, you find that you are downloading lots of stuff from Microsoft. So I don't know. Is that challenge that you're having at the moment?
Do you have the latest version?
Yes, latest version.
Okay. So we should probably get this feedback.
Can you hear me? Yeah, so that's very good feedback. And in fact, one of the reasons why we are here in Africa doing a lot of different things around, you know, listening and learning is exactly to get that kind of feedback, right? Like Elaine pointed out, we have done improvements over the previous versions of Windows to make this more optimized, right? But clearly what we're learning here, when we come here and listen and learn, is we need to do more work. And that is important learning for us, and we are definitely going to be working on this more going forward. But to go back to, in general, we do not recommend turning off updates, because like you rightly pointed out, it's not a good idea for security.
Yeah, you can be vulnerable, right? Keep sending us feedback. Do you use the feedback hub tool?
No, not yet. I think I'll use it now.
And we by the way, we do look at feedback. So, but as she said, right, we are improving, we are listening, we are learning here. That's one of the main reasons that I've been here. This is my first time in Africa, and I'm learning already a lot from talking to a lot of you. It's not perfect. We are working, but as we get issues like the one that you were reporting, we will work on solutions back in our Redmond campus to make sure that we unblock you so you can have a great experience with Windows 10 in your IT environment or as a consumer or as an enterprise customer. Okay?
Mm-hmm. It is free, yes.
You like free stuff.
So the question was, is the upgrade analytics free? Yes, it is. It is available for your region, yes.
And there are links. Oh, actually, I didn't.
So if you're interested in signing up and please see me. I'll be available later as well, so we can go through it.
So you can sign up for the upgrade analytics on that link. I forgot to share.
On bandwidth of
bandwidth.
Windows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like internet usage. So I also had the same issue on Windows 8 when I had a very limited internet.
Mm-hmm.
So it consumes like GBs of bandwidth in just a few days. So it even happened when I turned off Windows Update. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like whenever you have limited internet, you can turn off Windows Update for some time. Whenever you get internet access, you can turn it on and update. That's possible. But now what I discovered was most of the bandwidth comes from the apps, such as these apps such as weather, map, you know, stuff like that, like finance, news. So they all consume a lot of bandwidth. So what I did was, my solution was just to uninstall those apps.
And then does it get better?
Yes, much better.
Okay.
So Windows 10 is also, you know, a child of Windows 8, so it might be the same thing.
Yeah.
So my question is, now I want to come to my question. So Windows or Microsoft products are originally designed or developed for the first world countries. So such as, you know, in, it started in America, so it's, mm-hmm. it considers America, the American market, European market. Now, when we look at Africa, the capacity, financial capacity of buyers in Africa is not the same as in Europe or in America. The per capita income of Africa is very low. In America, one person on average earns $40,000 a year. But in Africa, let's say, if we pick, say, Kenya, how much is it? So it's the same for any, and everybody wants to use now computer. So it comes to, we come to now Microsoft products, which are the main products that we use in our PCs. So I want to give one a good example in this case because it is a real life example. I have been using Kaspersky Internet Security for a while, and I always I can afford to buy Kaspersky Internet Security because the price I get in Africa is much cheaper than what I get in America. It is much cheaper. It costs maybe $70, but here you can spend, let's say, to get 1 year license, just maybe $5. And it's genuine product. So, I mean, it is very good job that you made Windows 10 upgrade free. I really appreciate it. But it would be nice also to consider the African market differently, not the same level as, and the pricing, in my view, should be different.
No, this
so that people are encouraged to buy.
I know. I think the feedback is that we need to look at the Africa market more, right? Because the needs, the scenarios are different, right? And that's what we are trying to do, right? With the Next Tech Africa being here. We are trying to get closer to this market and understand your needs so we can actually tailor our product so you feel like, you know, Africa has been considered on all the parts of the experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think Bumbo is here. It was the keynote opener, right? I think this is one of the things we are trying to do. But definitely, this is a great feedback. We'll have that in mind. As I said, we are learning a lot from you guys, and I appreciate all the feedback because this is important for us. Being here and talking to locals, talking to customers like you has been a great experience. It's eye-opening, and I'm sure all of us engineers going back home, we will remember all the things you guys are saying, so I really appreciate it.